have talked about the best U.S. presidents in the past on this program, but today we are going to talk more about the worst. A recent national poll by Quinnipiac University named President Barack Obama as the worst president since World War II, prompting us to make this today's big question. Who has been the worst U.S. president since World War II, and why? Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, July 16th. We will talk with a presidential historian about our attitudes toward our presidents, how historians rate our presidents, and we will welcome your views. Who would you say is the worst president of modern times? There have been 12 U.S. presidents since World War II. Who do you think was the worst? Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, John Kennedy, Dwight Eisenhower, or Harry Truman. So, of those, who has been the worst U.S. president since World War II, and why? We have this question posted online at WPR.org/joy. You can vote online or you can join us on air. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Let me welcome our guest. Happy to have back with us Kenneth C. Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About book series, including Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. He's also written about the Bible, mythology, the universe, the Civil War, and other topics. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Joy. Always a joy to be with you.
Yes, it's great to have you back. So, well, Quinnipiac is a pretty well-respected national poll. What's your reaction to these results? It was 33%.
Good morning, Joy. First of all, I guess surprise, but not surprise. My reaction to polls like this is, first of all, that they're a little bit like the political equivalent of selfies. You know, they're not the official portrait. It's a momentary snapshot, and then 2 weeks later, you probably get very different results. But I still was surprised at how sharply and how negatively President Obama was seen in this poll, and there's been an awful lot of discussion of it in the meantime. Some of the highlights, of course, and the poll is available for anyone to see online. Obama's predecessor, former President George W. Bush, came in at second worst, slightly ahead of, I guess you could call it that, of President Obama. And when I say it's a selfie and a snapshot, I think that this is the result of partly the atmosphere in the country at the time, right now, the division, the very sharp bipartisan or partisan division in the country right now, and the endless drumbeat of news that a president must cope with these days that I think, you know, we've seen this change over the years with cable news and 24-hour news cycle, but the social media aspect has so completely changed this, and the country has been so sharply bifurcated along very partisan, deeply partisan lines that I think it's hard for people to step back and get a more reasoned, rational look. They just hear a constant drumbeat of negativity these days, and I think that Barack Obama is the whipping boy of the moment because of that.
Yeah, and again, we're not going to necessarily spend the whole hour analyzing this specific poll, but just so listeners know, President Obama was, voted in this poll the worst president since World War II by 33% of the poll respondents. 28% of the poll respondents picked President George W. Bush as the worst president. It turns out in this poll, 35% of the voters said that Ronald Reagan was the best president since World War II. 18% said Bill Clinton was the best president since World War II. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I guess the surprise is there on the best side that Ronald Reagan finishes first. That's not a huge surprise because presidents often in death become far more popular than they were in life. And Ronald Reagan was a popular president in his lifetime, of course, but I think just, you know, once he passed away and was truly lionized by the Republican Party in particular, and there was talk about adding a face to Mount Rushmore, it cemented that place. I suppose the surprise follow-up to that is that Bill Clinton finishes second, a somewhat distant second to Ronald Reagan as best. This is clearly an indication that people have in America have short memories. Going back further on the flip side of this, the thing that I look at and jumps out at me in many respects is Harry Truman is, you know, kind of at zero in this poll. And people may not remember that when Harry Truman left office, and he could have run for another term, by the way, even though he had finished Roosevelt's most of Roosevelt's term, been reelected in 1948. He could have actually run again because the amendment, the two-term amendment, did not apply to him. He thought also, by the way, that that amendment was a terrible idea and even threatened to run when he was 90 again just to show it was a bad idea. But Truman, when he left office, was considered truly one of the worst presidents, and his popularity ratings were probably around what Obama's are now, I mean, a little bit above, a little bit below. Now he's, you know, regularly regarded as one of the greatest presidents of the modern era, and certainly maybe one of the greatest presidents of all, for his boldness, for his the way in which he dealt with the Cold War, the blossoming Cold War, his very bold decisions on things like some civil rights issues, including desegregating the army, which was one of the most important small executive orders. You know, I say a small executive order. It wasn't a big piece of legislation. It was a president signing an executive order. Desegregating the army made a huge difference to this country, as well as to the military. So Truman's elevation in historical polls is an indication that a momentary snapshot, the selfie of popularity at the moment, is very different from what we like to think of as the longer span of history, being able to look at things in a much better context. And I would suspect that 10 years from now, you know, we don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 years, of course, with President Obama, but 10 years from now, the assessment will be very different.
Yes, and that's, I mean, historians usually don't rate a presidency while the presidency is still in its midway through its second term.
I certainly do not, and don't know much about the American presidents. I do grade all the American presidents with from A-plus down to F, with a few incompletes thrown in, mostly for presidents who died so early in office that they really had no impact. But I gave Barack Obama an incomplete as well, because I just didn't think it's fair to judge a president when we're in the midst of his presidency. The book was written during his first term, mm-hmm. revised slightly after his reelection, and but I still feel the same way, that we cannot assess a president in a historical sense while we're in the midst of the smoke and fog of the political wars.
Yeah. Well, as a historian, how do historians rate presidents in terms of whether they are the best or the worst?
It's interesting. There, historians have been doing these surveys for a very long time, really going back to the 1960s. The Schlesinger-Harvard University poll was probably the first among them and the most famous for a long time, always rated Washington, Lincoln, FDR, kind of 1, 2, 3 at the slight shifts in which one was number one, Lincoln usually coming out overall first. That poll has continued for many, many years, and there have been, since then, many other polls. A lot of people complained, for instance, that the Schlesinger poll was a little bit tilted towards progressive or liberal presidents. There have been more recent polls that try and be a little bit more, I don't know, conservative in their approach. But what's interesting is that whatever side the poll seems to come from of historians, mm-hmm. The rankings are usually pretty close. We usually have the same kind of top 10 and the same, certainly top three, and that's Washington, Lincoln, Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt in some order along those lines. An agreement. That's an assessment that I should say I would agree with largely. I graded four presidents with an A+ in my book, and they are Washington, Lincoln, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and more surprisingly to some people, Theodore Roosevelt. And it's not so much because of any specific legislation that Theodore Roosevelt or Franklin D. Roosevelt made, but I'm looking at how these men had an impact both on the country, on history, and on the presidency itself. These were the four men who made the presidency more or less what it is today, and certainly in Franklin D. Roosevelt's case, that is very true.
And is there a consensus of the worst presidents of the United States from historians?
Well, this one sort of bumps along at the bottom of the barrel as well. There's usually an agreement that they include James Buchanan, who is Lincoln's predecessor, and Warren G. Harding, who's also in the news recently because letters to his mistress that were at the Library of Congress and apparently held under some kind of embargo that they not be released for many years are about to be released. So mm-hmm. Warren G. Harding, who maintained probably the most, although he was never accused of being personally corrupt in a sense himself, he was really managed and administered the most corrupt administration in American history. Grant's probably is a second, a close second. But for instance, the first, and this is how history repeats itself, the first Veterans Administration began during the Harding administration, and it was immediately riddled by corruption and scandal that went all the way into the office of the Attorney General, Harding's Attorney General. So that that issue has been around a long, long time. So Buchanan and Harding are generally considered two of the worst. To that list, I personally have added George W. Bush, and that was sort of the surprise of the Quinnipiac poll that he's sort of risen in some estimation among the public, despite having overseen an economic catastrophe, as we all know, and two wars, one of which was also a fiasco. And so I judge George W. Bush very harshly, but time heals a lot of wounds with the public, it seems, and people seem to be somewhat more forgiving of George W. Bush at this point.
Well, we'll talk more about that, the public opinion poll that asked who are the best and the worst U.S. presidents since World War II. And we welcome your vote to this, our big question today. Who do you think is or was the worst U.S. president since World War II? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our guest is Ken Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About book series, including Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are asking you in today's big question, who do you think was the worst U.S. president since World War II? And your choices are Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, John Kennedy, Dwight Eisenhower, Harry Truman, and let us know why as well. And let's go to the phones. Fred in Watersmeet, Michigan is with us. Hello, Fred.
Hi, guys. I guess I would. It was a toss-up between me choosing Nixon as the worst and George W. Bush. Nixon because of Watergate, in my opinion, being treasonous, but George W. Bush with the wars and an economic crisis. And I really think Obama. He's been so tarred and feathered, but he saved us from going into a depression. And solve the financial crisis. I think the Affordable Care Act will go down in history as one of his greatest achievements. And if he can put through immigration reform before the end of his second term, I think history is going to be very kind to him. Now, what I do think, I read a column, and what that person said is that President Obama is probably the most disrespected president in history, and I almost tend to agree with that, and I wanted to see what your speaker's comments would be on that.
Ken Davis?
Thanks for the call. Excellent points. First, to the last point about disrespected, I would sort of agree, and I'd say that that's what I was referring to earlier when talking about the social media aspect of this. What we can see now on the internet and on Twitter and on Facebook was once the stuff of, you know, graffiti on bathroom walls. And unfortunately, because this is now elevated to something millions of people can see on their computers, the vulgarity of that kind of political commentary, if we can call it that, gets certainly magnified. And I think that has a lot to do with it. As I would be very honest to say, I also feel that there's always has been an undercurrent of, and sometimes outwardly, a racial tinge to that disrespect. And I'm sure lots of people would disagree with me on that, but that's what I have observed. On the Nixon count, that's an interesting one because I gave Richard Nixon a D in my book and my grading system. By most standards, I would think you'd have to consider Nixon a failed president because of the fact that he was the first and to date only president to resign, and the disaster of Watergate, as well as the what we know now about the secret wars in Cambodia and all the other potentially impeachable offenses, and Nixon was certainly going to be impeached if he hadn't resigned. I elevated him above complete failure in part because of his impact on the presidency, his impact on history, and also for the one thing he did which only Richard Nixon could have done, and that was the trip to China. Certainly a turning point in modern American political history, and certainly a turning point in Chinese history. And of course, now today, we are really dealing with that more than 40 years later, the tremendous impact that that visit to China by Richard Nixon had back in the 1970s.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just saw a This Day in History yesterday, and that was the anniversary of Nixon's trip to China. Let's go to Jerry in Glendale next. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Without a question in my mind, George W. Bush is the worst president since the Second World War, primarily because of his fatal lack of leadership in foreign policy and his willingness to be duped by his henchmen into getting us into the invasion of Iraq, which has cost this country trillions of dollars, as well as many military lives, casualties, and hundreds of thousands of deaths of civilians. And we will continue to pay for his mistakes, at least throughout my generation. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much. We talked a little bit about how, at least in public opinion, George W. Bush's ratings went up a little bit in this poll. But I remember when he left office, he said, "I'll leave it to historians to decide, you know, whether my presidency was a success or not." You say it was not, but are historians changing their tune about George W. Bush?
Not many objective historians that I'm aware of, and certainly not many who write about the political ramifications and the geopolitical ramifications of what Bush did, particularly in Iraq, as the caller just mentioned. And obviously, we are seeing that play out. What is happening in Iraq was something that a great many critics said was going to happen when we first went into Iraq, of course, under what are now known to be completely disingenuous or specious arguments, whether they were believed by the Bush administration or not. They were catastrophic in their impact. And as the caller just mentioned correctly, I believe, we are still paying for that decision, and the Iraqi people are paying for it as well in some respects. And we certainly don't know how the end game in Iraq will play out.
We are talking with Ken Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About book series, including Don't Know Much About the American Presidents, about a recent poll that shows Barack Obama as the worst U.S. president since World War II, followed by George W. Bush and Richard Nixon. We are talking about people's attitudes toward our presidents, and we are inviting you to weigh in on this week's big question. Who do you think is or was the worst U.S. president since World War II? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. So is President Barack Obama the worst president since World War II? A plurality of voters polled recently by the Quinnipiac University picked Obama as the worst president, followed by President George W. Bush and then Richard Nixon. Who would you pick as the worst president since World War II? That's today's big question. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We have our online poll posted at wpr.org/joy, where we note there have been 12 U.S. presidents since World War II. Who do you think was the worst? Barack Obama, George W. Bush, Bill Clinton, George H.W. Bush, Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, Gerald Ford, Richard Nixon, Lyndon Johnson, John Kennedy, Dwight Eisenhower, or Harry Truman. We are talking about this poll, but more so about our attitudes and ratings of our American presidents with our guest historian, Kenneth C. Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About book series, including Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. On Facebook, Richard says, "How can you possibly rate a president who has been unable to do anything because of gridlock in Congress? I hear conservatives talking all the time about his socialistic policies. What policies has he been able to implement other than the ACA?" So our Facebook poster saying you can't say he's the worst when he's been stopped by Congress so much. So what do you say about that, Ken?
Well, there's no question that Barack Obama, among these modern presidents, has been more stymied by Congress, a resistant Congress, especially since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, which was, you know, came in the first year, 2 years, and then led to the loss of the House in 2010, and that transformation of Congress from a Democratic majority to a Republican majority has certainly been, I think, almost the signature of this administration over the past few years. I cannot recall, and Republicans basically said it, including Mitch McConnell. I quote him in my book saying, we're just not going to do anything. We're going to make sure that this president doesn't get reelected, which was, of course, a faulty prediction. But when you look at how little has been accomplished by this Congress in the past 6 years, it's rather extraordinary in historical terms. Some people would argue that's probably a good thing. Get Congress out of the picture as much as possible. But really, we've had very, very little meaningful legislation passed within the past few years because of that complete obstructionism. Lyndon Johnson was, of course, the master of the Senate, as we know, had a mostly compliant Democratic Congress to work with. Ronald Reagan, of course, had a now famous relationship with Speaker Tip O'Neill that enabled them to make deals, make compromises that no Republican would probably want to make today. Ronald Reagan, the famous tax cutter, raised taxes something like 11 times in his 8 years. I think many Americans are surprised to hear that because they always hear Ronald Reagan tax cuts. You know, they've become linked in the American mind. Obviously, we have a three-part government, and when one is as resistant to the other as this Congress is to the president, it's difficult to get anything done.
Yeah, and so you think that, you know, this partisan divide, the polarization, the gridlock, the constant negative drumbeat of negative news, that's bringing down President Obama's favorability ratings, his job performance ratings, and somewhat the reason why the people in this poll picked him as the worst president since World War II?
Yeah, you know, I think actually it has to do with something a little bit bigger, which this poll doesn't address, but certainly other polls have, which is the complete feeling that the government, and I think that because the president becomes the personification of the government, it's one thing to talk about 435 House members and 100 senators, 535 people who, some of them are well known, but we think of them as Congress. The president is the face of the government at any given moment in history. And so I think that what you're seeing in this poll probably is really that reflection of something's really broken with the government. It's broken trust. You can go down the whole list of problems that we have had in this country going back to the recession and before. And, you know, fairly or not, the president has that on his. He gets credit if good things happen, and they often happen with Congress's approval. But on the bad side, he gets strapped with it if things turn sour, and that's certainly the case right now. So I think that this is really a reflection of how many Americans feel truly disengaged and disenchanted with their government, and I think that's reflected also in turnout at elections, especially the non-presidential elections.
Yeah. Well, Annette on Facebook says that President Obama is her pick for the worst president since World War II because he doesn't care about jobs, military care of veterans, and USDA public housing funding for quality and safe housing in the U.S. He thinks he's still running for president, and he wants to be a movie star. Well, you have any quick comments on her reasons why she's thinking President Obama's the worst U.S. president?
Well, I guess my instant reaction to that is that that seems to be coming from the side of the Obama supporters who have somewhat soured on him, and I think that President Obama was certainly historic in his election, and that we have to take into account here, and that a lot of the people who supported him and had very, very high expectations for a transformational presidency and the president who was going to bring hope and change, his campaign words, have been very disappointed. The Facebook comment mentions a few of those disappointments, jobs, and again, Congress has a piece of that. But on other issues like drones and Guantanamo, and go down the list of expectations, perhaps from the progressive or left side of his support, that feels disappointed. So that factors into this rating as well.
David in South Milwaukee is with us. Hello, David.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You know, my rubric for picking worst would be would reflect on who we are as a people. We're a nation of immigrants, and how we welcome various immigrant groups and how we treat the legacy of slavery is interesting to me, at the least. And that leads me to nominate Ronald Reagan, who a lot of people forget began his first run for the presidency in Philadelphia, Mississippi, which was code for his supporters. That was the city where the three civil rights workers were slain. And he was a great communicator. That was part of it. I didn't care for the message he was communicating. And for a president of the United States, a nation of immigrants, and with the racism, the legacy of slavery strapped to our back, to have done that is just, it remains just stunning to me.
Yeah. Thank you, David. Ken Davis, have you heard much about that analogy, I guess?
Oh, many people have commented on Ronald Reagan's choice of Philadelphia, Mississippi, as the place to make to start his campaign, and his discussion of states' rights, which is another code word, of course. And it was clearly part of what was a strategy begun by Richard Nixon, the Southern strategy, to attract disaffected white Democrats to the Republican Party. It was a successful strategy that transformed the face of modern politics. The once solid Democratic South, at least the white Democratic South, turned Republican, and certainly helped elect Richard Nixon, elected Ronald Reagan, elected George Bush as well, both George Bushes. And so that was clearly, it was interesting that a few years ago, one Republican National Committeeman, and I write about this in my book, actually apologized for that Southern strategy, because he was recognizing that the Republican Party had so completely turned its back on black Americans. Particularly shameful, he thought, because it was the party of Lincoln, so-called. So the caller's point is well taken.
Ed on Facebook says, the worst president was Carter, a real nice guy, but even worse than Bush and Dick or Obama. At least he didn't start a war, and he did end up being a wonderful citizen. But I guess that saying that Carter was ineffective as president. Comments on Carter's presidency?
I have to sort of agree with that assessment. I don't think he was a failed president, as many have. And when we look back at the signature achievement of Jimmy Carter, also victim of the tremendous changes in the world economy, if we think back to OPEC and its control over the economy at the time and what oil prices meant back then, still important, but then it was a true stranglehold. But I think people have forgotten, and we look at Israel and Palestine today and forget what Jimmy Carter accomplished with the extraordinary peace accords that unfortunately were never followed up upon. And you know, a signal turning point in Mideast history that many people thought would be the beginning of the end of the strife, but certainly now, 40 years later, we can say it was just a temporary respite.
Yeah. A listener on Facebook says they're all bad and they're all part of the oligarchy. We need some change, publicly funded elections and an end to the two-party system. Well, maybe a little bit. Well, can you comment on that Republicans and Democrats are all the same sentiment that listener seems to be thinking?
Yeah, I think that there's another good point there, and I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier about the disillusionment with government in general. I think that we see both parties awash in money, now abetted by the Supreme Court decisions that really have opened the floodgates to almost unlimited political contributions from corporations. And I know the argument is, well, the unions give just as much money, but the union political contributions are a fraction of what corporations and large individual donors are now feeding into the two parties. So I think that plays into this real sense of disaffection. So I would agree very much that the idea that money is running the show, also a very old idea in American politics. Theodore Roosevelt talked about it 100 years ago, more than 100 years ago, when he talked about the greatest criminals being the men of great wealth who were able to corrupt the political system. And I think that sense is certainly at play in our feelings about government and Congress and the president to a large degree.
Well, most of our comments so far this hour and on our Facebook page have been either agreeing that Barack Obama was the worst president or saying, no, it was George W. Bush or Ronald Reagan. A lot of the other, you know, possibilities, other presidents since World War II are, you know, nary get a mention. Maybe Nixon does as the third worst. But to what do you attribute that? Anything?
Short memories, largely. I don't know the specifics of the demographics of this Quinnipiac poll. It's probably very scientific, but you know, how many people in this country? We are not a nation of historians, as mm-hmm. as we know, Joy. You know, can even talk cogently about what Harry Truman or Dwight D. Eisenhower did. John F. Kennedy, of course, is still this often romanticized figure, although there's much tarnish on his armor since his death more than 50 years ago now. But you know, we have short memories in this country, and people don't know and really have anything to gauge about presidents like Truman or Eisenhower, let alone a figure like Gerald Ford and even to some degree Richard Nixon.
Yeah, let's wrap up with you and just talk a little bit about what a poll like this might say about President Barack Obama 10 years from now, at least what we will be considering when we rate his presidency.
Well, that's obviously a question that needs to be answered by what happens in the next 10 years. When Social Security was introduced, for instance, by Franklin D. Roosevelt in the 1930s, it was met with many of the same complaints as Obamacare has been facing. This is socialism. This is an intrusion of the government to our lives. This is terrible. Republicans, you know, were up in arms about it, but they didn't have the strength in Congress then that they do now. And now Social Security is, of course, is the bedrock of so many American lives that it is still the third rail, as they call it in American politics. You don't touch it because that's certainly a quick way to political electrocution. So I think that what will happen in the next few years with Obamacare will have a lot to do with that. We're already seeing some of the early results. Professor Paul Krugman wrote about this in the New York Times, that it's failed to fail, and nobody's really talking about that. The disastrous effects have not come to pass, and in fact, some of the beneficial effects are coming to pass, as a congressional budget survey showed yesterday, that the pace of health care costs is falling. So those things will determine to some degree what President Obama's true historical standing legacy, so to speak, will be.
Thank you very much for joining us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Joy.
Kenneth C. Davis, author of the Don't Know Much About book series, including Don't Know Much About the American Presidents. Okay, well, heard some from our presidential historian. Now it's time for you to sound off on today's big question. Who do you think was the worst U.S. president since World War II, and why? We'll give you 30 seconds to vote in our online poll and on air during our sound-off segment, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Time now for you to sound off on who you think is the worst U.S. president since World War II. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Dave in Wanakee, go ahead.
Yes, George W. Bush is the worst U.S. president because first he let us get hit on 9/11 after multiple warnings. He then got us into a war on false pretenses. He instituted torture as a policy. He let us, he had a big government failure to respond to the Katrina disaster, and he left us in a depression for which Wall Street was bailed out by U.S. taxpayers.
30 seconds exactly, Dave. Thank you. Richard in Chippewa Falls. Go ahead, Richard.
Well, how could you go wrong with the big three? Nixon, W. Bush, but the worst of the bunch was Ronald Reagan. He unleashed unregulated corporate greed that is now being played out by the money being siphoned from the middle class into the hands of a few. He did it with a grandpa's smile. This man was so mean-spirited that his first act was to keep our hostages in Iran until his inauguration. And he went after the New Deal with a vengeance, destroying social programs, tearing down mental health institutions. And
thank you very much, Richard. 30 seconds in the sound-off segment. We have your vote that Ronald Reagan, you think, is the worst U.S. president since World War II. Maddie in Wapaka. Hi, Maddie. What do you think?
Hi. George W. Bush, without a doubt, he started a war that we should have never got into in Iraq, and it's an unfunded war, and the Republicans keep hollering about our national debt, but it's because of the unfunded war. And so that's it.
Thank you very much, Maddie. Chris in Milwaukee is with us next. Hello, Chris.
Hi. Reagan's the worst. W is just son of Reagan. Reagan started the death of unions with PATCO. He offshored businesses. He changed the tax structure, so now we have multi-billionaires. He stopped the renewable energy program of Carter. He caused the mess in Central America, so now we have these migrant kids. And if you think Obama is the worst, it's because you've heard those right-wing radio guys listen to that. He's an idiot. There, I said it. He's an idiot. That's what they're hearing on the right-wing radio, and that's why they think Obama's the worst. Thanks.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, we have time for one more call, so let's go to Michael in Hillsboro. Hello, Michael.
Hello, good morning. I'd like to cast my vote for Barack Obama. Enough said. Thank you very much.
Well, that really wasn't enough said, though, Michael. You didn't tell us why. Oh, he hung up. All right. Well, you can continue voting online in our online poll. Right now, 58% of those who voted online are picking George W. Bush as the worst U.S. president since World War II, followed by 14% of you voting for Ronald Reagan as the worst. 10% say President Obama is the worst. 6% Gerald Ford, 6% Richard Nixon, 2% Jimmy Carter, 2% George H.W. Bush. So continue voting online at WPR.org/joy. Thanks very much to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Cherry for producing this hour. Thanks very much for all of your calls. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.